thank you and welcome, members. Today's session will begin with asking the, and we would like to welcome Professor Swale and his team from TPLG. Welcome, and yes, let's welcome you to do the presentation. We have had discussions and interactions with the department on a variety of its programs, and we expressed the need that we would like to have a more focused, pay more focused attention on the support to the institution of traditional leadership. This has arisen from our interaction with the House itself, but also with TPLG. So today's session is intended to provide us with a deeper look into the intended support as part of our overall oversight over the governance initiatives underway in our country, and especially this institution that is so critical. So welcome and thank you, and go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, honorable members of the full committee. First of all, let me express our appreciation, or my appreciation, on behalf of the department and the department part of behalf of our branch, our chief directorate, for affording us this opportunity to make this presentation to you, honorable members, on what we think is a very, very important and critical phase in this unfolding system of government with respect to traditional leaders. Honorable members, we are glad to take this opportunity of presenting to you what we regard as the government. First of all, the government's response, the government's thinking on this institution, the role of this institution, with respect to the issue of service delivery and development, with special reference to the rural communities. This response emanates from the ruling party's vision on how this institution should be engaged, and should also to on how these institutions should also structure itself so as to respond to the challenges out there, as I said, with respect to service delivery and development, especially to the community sector of our population, which has up to now been a bit neglected, or somewhat neglected, vis-à-vis their urban counterparts. This structure of this presentation today consists of three parts. The main part, the national program of support for the institution, the subsequent part, which are in the Departmental Committee on Allocation of Roles to Traditional Leadership, and then the recommendation. Starting with the background, which I'm not going to dwell much on, because you know this better than I do, because some of you were crafters of this legislation, piece of legislation, Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, number 41 of 2003. as well as the provincial piece of provincial legislation, which to us in our mind finalize and put into cooperation, laying the basis for the institution's role in development as a partner of the government. These pieces of legislation require the establishment of certain structures through which the institution interacts with all spheres of government. These pieces of legislation require the establishment of these structures and program of capacity building so that members can or are in a position to discharge their money. This piece of legislation also means then that at this juncture, the implementation has started, and in provinces, it is in full swing, some provinces, but as you can see that the provinces are in varying degrees of readiness. These pieces of legislation, honorable members, also demand that at the end of the day, partnerships between the institution and the government must be established in order to promote involvement of this institution in development of service delivery, as you know. The government of white support to the institution is necessary to give effect to the new legislation, that is, to the following, or you can consider the following. Capacity building, skills development, provision of infrastructure, the functionality of the structures of structural leadership, including the allocation of roles and functions, as well as the establishment of partnerships to promote involvement of structural leadership in development and delivery. As already been said, the provinces are in varying degrees of implementation there, province-specific legislation, with the support of PPLG and other national departments. The aim is that with your support and the other very important stakeholders, this program should be presented to the cabinet in the course of this year. The main theme and the core of this support consists of four strategic priorities. One, supporting the institution of personal leadership to improve governance, performance, and accountability. Two, building capacity to the institution of personal leadership. Three, reviewing and strengthening the policy and regulatory framework in order to give greater attention and support to the institution. Four, addressing the structure and governance arrangements of the state and even the provinces in order to better strengthen, support, and monitor personal institution. Taking priority number one, more detail now, with your permission, honorable members. What does this involve, the strategy priority number one? It involves the establishment of a statutory structure. For instance, the reconstitution of traditional councils, which are the core to the formation of this partnership. That they must be resourced, and that infrastructure must be put in place for all these, that is, the constitutional structure, the constitutional councils, houses of traditional leaders, that is, both provincial and local houses that are being, that are in the process of being formed or established. That provision of administrative support to the institution, including central house, traditional leaders, and provincial and local houses that are being envisaged. In development and execution of systems and performance management systems for traditional leadership. Provide support to provinces which receive or in process of receiving traditional communities as a result of redetermination of provincial boundaries in terms of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. All of you must know about that, that provinces like the Northern Cape, provinces like Gauteng, for instance, that the PLG continues to give the necessary support so that these provinces are in a better position to discharge their mandate as required. The allocation of roles and functions to transfer leadership by government departments. The second strategic priority, as I remember, involves development and execution of a comprehensive skills and capacity building program. And we are saying that if we want to be honest with ourselves, and we are allocating these very important functions to this institution, then that institution has to be empowered and enriched so that it is able to discharge its responsibilities and mandate as required by both the Constitution and the White Paper, as well as the piece of legislation emanating from this. That identification of functions to be assigned to transnational councils by various relevant national government departments. I will dwell on that later, more later. But as required by Section 19 and 20 of the Framework Act, that national departments, even provincial departments, those that are relevant to the institution, must allocate functions to this institution. It also involves identification of partners and programs for the involvement of transnational leadership institutions in development. Some departments have already done this, but this needs to be done in a more coordinated way. Provision of institutional support to all structures within the institution. That necessary support must be given to this so that this institution, when, for instance, a national government, let's say Department of Arts and Culture, gives responsibility to this institution, it must be able to do so with the necessary financial and institutional support so that this institution is able to do the charges, its mandate, and also to play its role as required. Promote the involvement of transnational institutions in service delivery and development. I'm sure you know better than I do that in the past, institutions used to play these roles. Even before the advent of this government, even before the advent of apartheid, even pre-colonial times, roads, schools, so-called missionary schools were built with the assistance of this. Roads, bridges were built with the assistance of this institution. Traditionally, we're playing a telling role in those. But now we're saying, if we want them to play these roles again, they must be capacitated. Six, promote and coordinate and facilitate the entering into synergistic partnerships between the government and Tanzania. That if the partnerships that are envisaged by Section 5-6 of the Framework Act have to be meaningful, then it means then that this must be done in a coordinated way, of course, with the institution having been empowered. Just like, for instance, their counterpart, the council, so that they are able to play their rightful role. Number three, the third priority, honorable members, involves the drafting and finalization of national and provincial regulations on the reconstitution and functioning of transnational councils. What it means is that we have talked about the partnerships here between councils, local councils, and reconstituted transnational councils. These partnerships cannot take place unless and until transnational councils have been reconstituted from the SY Transnational Authority, to be in line now with the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, involvement of women, involvement of elected people in the Tribal Council, and of course, with the necessary support, financial and otherwise. So, the remaining legislative work that has to be done has to be finished as soon as possible. This also involves finalization of policy on the Khoisan communities. That this issue has to be brought to finality so that these communities themselves are brought into the fold and alongside their fellow South Africans are able to play their rightful role. It involves also the analysis of provincial and national legislation dealing with governance issues, establishing House of Tribal Leaders in line with the White Paper Framework Act. Recall, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, that initially provincial houses were established, but because of the issues then, that we need to revisit them so that they are aligned. For instance, the provincial houses must be aligned to the national house, and so the envisaged local house must be aligned to the provincial house. Sometimes we get the situation where a provincial house comes to the end of its term, which does not really coincide with the national. So these things need alignment, and so that even the national house can play the envisaged overseeing role over the provincial houses. But these things need to be looked at. Number four, provision of dedicated support to kings and queens in terms of the new legislation. As you know, that in terms of the Framework Act now, this category of transgender leadership, the kings and queens, are now in the office of the president, that there has to be necessary roles that are allocated to them and the functions so that they are able to play their role. The assessment of alignment of provincial legislation with the White Paper, as I've indicated, in the Framework Act. Guidelines on involvement of tribal leader institutions in intergovernmental relations. The fourth strategic priority, or as the last one, involves the establishment of a national technical forum that is going to oversee this implementation, of course, being coordinated by TPLG, implementation of this program of support, and what happens nationally as well as provincially. Provision of benefits to traditional leaders, such as traditional leaders, headmen, and members of the houses. This still needs to be done, as you all know better than me, that there's a category of this institution which has not been fully provided for in terms of the ruling or the pronouncement made by the Commission on the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, especially the head. The development and maintenance of comprehensive information system on traditional leadership institutions, that we must have an up-to-date information system on this institution. Fourthly, we must be able to assess the capacity and organization of DPLG now as a national department and provincial departments to provide adequate support capacity to the institution. And as you already heard, that DPLG, in response to this, is now in the process of establishing a department that is going to deal, separate from TPLG, but under the ministry, but dealing now with this institution. Coming now, with your permission, honorable members, to the roles of other government departments. I've already alluded to that in terms of Section 19 and 20 of the Framework Act, the relevant departments, almost all of the departments, are expected to allocate roles and functions to this institution so that this institution is able to play its role, rightful role. But this needs to be coordinated. Guidelines need to be provided so that if a department does that, it must also make sure that the necessary funding, the necessary capacitation takes place. Otherwise, it will be of no use to simply assign a function and a role to this without making sure that this institution is able to function well, having been capacitated both monetarily, financially, as well as institutionally. So these are the departments, some of them, not all of them, but these are the departments, or some of the departments that we're making here examples of the departments that are relevant to. And as I said, the list is not really exhaustive. And I'm not going to read, for permission, these departments, and we're giving you examples of some of the functions that will be allocated. And some of them have already done that. I have already indicated, honorable members, that provinces are partners to this national program, which is, as I've indicated, not just DPLG. Yes, it's DPLG coordinated, but it's a government. All the government, all the departments are involved. And this also means that the provinces have to be involved in this national program because they're a government. It also means the local government will have to be involved in this program of national support. And here we are indicating the role that provinces are already playing, that they are expected to recognize, establish, and support institutions, because that is where it is. And the following progress has been noted in the provinces. Legislation finalized and the process of being implemented in the following, as the following needs to be done. Regulations are required in order to require other legislation and certain provinces have already drafted, others are finished. The Constitutional Cultural Council. Some of them are almost finished, others are in the middle. The establishment of local houses. Other provinces, KZN, for instance, established these. Others, as I said earlier, that provinces are in varying degrees of readiness for these issues. Reconfiguration of staff establishment, the alignment of budgets with the new legislation, provision of infrastructure, communication programs with communities, determination of infrastructural needs, some capacity building projects. If I were to say these things, if you were, I would say this, that when we were moving around after the passing of the Framework Act, when we're helping the provinces to craft their specific needs or specific provincial acts, we realized that a lot of them suffer from various maladies with respect to the infrastructure, with respect to people manning those posts. We respect a lot of things, that they are a capacity problem, both institutionally and financially, that it will be of no use for some of us at national level to talk about these things when where these things are happening provincially, the shortcomings left much to be desired. And in terms of what I have indicated here. So, what is envisaged is that what we are aiming to do nationally must also cascade down to the provinces. And this must happen if we want this program of support, national program, to really take off in a coordinated, uniform way. There's also the issue of redetermination of provincial boundaries, resulting in a number of provinces either releasing or receiving personal communities, and the BLG is associated in this regard, especially with Gauteng, as I've indicated, Northern Cape. As we speak now, Northern Cape is busy arranging hearings with respect to their piece of legislation. The following, honorable members, is a synopsis of the progress that thus far has been made in the province. And with your permission, I won't waste your time reading those. But the indication here, as you would read, is that the provinces are in varying degrees of readiness. And the BLG has visited all of them and has given the necessary support. But these things can never be brought to finality unless and until, as I've said, the provinces have received the necessary institutional and financial support, and administrative support. That is the key implication. Early delivery. Capacity building to the institution is one of the most critical areas of support to the institution, as we have indicated. And to this end, and I'm glad to say that a few weeks or a few days ago, a week or two, our partner, LPCITA, was making a presentation here, which, among other things, indicated the partnership that is already taking place between DPLG itself, National House, and SALGA, with respect to the capacitation of the traditional leaders of the institution. And as we now speaking, we are engaged in designing and implementing these skills development program, focusing on the following: the development of skills development framework, skills audit for all traditional leaders, identification of skills development needs, prioritization of skills development program, ensuring that skills identified are in line with the key competencies of traditional leadership, to conduct a full rollout to all structures within the institution. Secondly, the announcement by the President in December that support program was being developed to cover areas of support of institutions, and that the government was considering establishing a national department for this institution, so that this national program dovetails with the government seeing that the tasks that awaits this institution demand that a separate department must be created, and that this department, in order for it to function meaningfully, must be buttressed by this national program of support covering both national sphere, provincial sphere, as well as local sphere. Continuing with the early delivery problems, capacity building programs will be conducted, especially now. We have done the necessary trade work. This year, we are going to start with the actual capacitation training. Of course, some provinces have done this individually, but would like to do this in a coordinated, uniform way. The BLG is in the process of developing guidelines on the participation of institutional personnel in the IDD engagement process. As I'm moving towards the end, I wish to inform the honorable members that the consultation process is ongoing, that the following has already happened, that a presentation of this nature was made to MINMEC in November 2006. A similar presentation was made to the cabinet on November following day 2006. That consultation is taking place with national and social development. And then envisage it should have taken place last year, December. It was postponed, and even this year it has been postponed, the PCC, that where we are expected to, but now coming on Centennial June this year to make a presentation. Presentation has already taken place to the National House this year in April. Last week, DPLG made a presentation and had a workshop, a three-day workshop, Monday to Wednesday, with provincial officials on this issue, talk about national support. And he's received overwhelming support. And now provinces have been required, have been asked, have been tasked to go back and do their homework with respect to some of the issues that they need to attend. For instance, the infrastructure needs, the institutional needs, they're becoming back to us on these things. And where we are moving towards finding out exactly how much is going to cost this program. Hence, we are making these wide-ranging consultations. So that by the time we really submit to the government, not maybe towards the end of May, maybe we're being ambitious, the beginning or middle of June, we have an idea of how much this program is going to cost. Of course, as I've said, this program is being overtaken or is being accelerated by the new developments this year or a few months ago, that there's going to be a new department that must take over this work. At the moment, it's being done by DPLG. As I've indicated, I remember that as part of the sub-program of this national program of support, involves the mobilization of departments that have something to do with this institution, so that in a uniform way, coordinated by DPLG, they offload and they also assign duties and roles to the institution. This is done and is a requirement of Section 19 and 20 of the Framework Act. And I've said comprehensively now, those departments have been identified. And in keeping with that, that we are now in the process of arranging an interministerial workshop. We've already returned to the departments, and some departments, most of them, have responded. We've already interacted with the officials. What needs to be done now is the full-blown workshop with the ministers, relevant ministers, on this issue, so that the ministers can really understand what is expected of each ministry, how this can be done, because we don't want to see this done in a haphazard way, individually by individual departments. But the government, in a coordinated way, should respond to the needs of this institution. And we all know, and as you know, as crafters of this, of this piece of legislation, or as a member, that the destiny here is the development of our people in the rural area. But before we can do that, we need to attend to the needs of the leadership of those communities, because without a capacitated and well-focused and strategic leadership of a community, the community needs can never be really adequately addressed. That's why we are concentrating on capacitating, coming up with this national program of support for the institution, so that it is in a better position to discharge its role, indeed its mandate, with respect to provision of service delivery and development. Lastly, I've provided terms of reference for this event. And the committee that is going to facilitate this allocation of roles. There they are, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members. But lastly now, we wish to request the honorable members to digest what we have said, discuss with us, help us, support us, present the areas of concern so as to enrich this process and eventually support this process, because it is part, it's your brainchild. This process emanates from your efforts here in this parliament when you help create and craft the Framework Act, which is the originator of this program. So we ask you to discuss and eventually support the development of government-wide national program of support, as well as the establishment of this interdepartmental committee on the allocation of roles and functions of tax and labor, which is a sub-program of this national program of support. I thank you.
Thank you, Prof. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the presentation as done by the CPLG. The floor is now open for questions and comments on the program of support as tabled to us. And so I'm sure members will have a lot of questions and comments here. Peter, and Dr. Sululu.
Chair, thank you.
Welcome, Dr. Lohoro.
And thanks, Prof. Just three quick questions. The issue of a separate department to deal with traditional leadership matters, I mean, I know it's been on the agenda, and we did note the comments of the President last month, but the presenter seemed to suggest that, in fact, it's been agreed to now. I thought it was merely an issue under consideration. Get clarity on the status of that issue. Secondly, I noted towards the end of the presentation in the section dealing with consultation that traditional leaders have on two occasions been consulted, but my question, which is obviously a good thing, but my question would be to what extent the program arises out of the consultative process with them. In other words, has the department crafted this, and having crafted it, taken it to traditional leaders, or have the institutions been involved in the initial crafting? Has it been a joint endeavor, or is it something that's been presented to them after a government's developed? And largely, this budget issue. You know, for many provinces, I think the issue of support traditional leadership is considered an unfunded mandate. And it may well be the case that, of course, we're in a slightly different regime at the moment, statutory regime, but the principle nonetheless remains that unless there in the equitable share allocation funds are made available to provinces to support this function, I frankly don't see it happening because there are too many other competing demands. And it may well be the case that at a national level there's a strong move to assure that funds are made available one level or another. I'd like some clarity on how this is going to happen through the provincial level as well in relation to funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, one must endorse his appreciation for the presentation as tabled by the department. Chairperson, one is aware that this presentation is the beginning of a long road. In the very same spirit that a professor has appealed to the team to raise areas of concern, one is that it is clear in his report, unless there's any other information that will help us in terms of the progress towards the implementation of the traditionally they are playing well. I think it is important that, amongst other things, Chairperson, we raise a concern in the committee that there have to be deadlines given to provinces so that the monetary mechanism is in place. Whether it's a question of political will or capacity, but if we just leave it loose, it will not be possible for us to monitor progress. The second one, Chairperson, this also goes exactly for mostly, I'm sure, at a later stage, Chairperson, the committee will also have to visit some of these provinces to see how cooperative or how struggling provinces are towards establishment. More so given the gender perspective on how they are supposed to be structured. So I want just to raise that we should be considerate. Chairperson, they also on page 4, the finalization of the policy of the whole of the Khoisan communities. I'm just raising this also. I think there will be a need at a later stage for us to begin to follow up on this issue. If you remember, Chairperson, having met with traditional leaders, it has happened that it has been very evident by their absence that the Khoisan seem like to be dealt with separately. In general, there are processes that are put in place. We just want to recommend that the professor maybe attach time frames, because even if you say by 2007, but there's got to be measurement so that you are then able to check as to by when will something be done. On page 6, I'm sure it was not deliberate on the summary of progress in provinces, that it must have been an omission that the reconstitution planned for April 2007, whereas it is in May now. Now, I didn't want to draw a wrong assumption that this was written earlier. I'm just saying, just to confirm as to whether that has been done. And then, of course, the last one is on the question of the department's capacity. In the spirit also of the whole presentation, we would believe that traditional leaders, the issue of succession, if we don't involve Department of Education and Department of Labor in terms of even determining the curriculum, in terms of what is it that, because I'm sure in Inkosi, the groom will say the same thing, Spasibata. Yeah, so I'm just saying, so that there is a dedicated program that has to, if we exclude the Department of Education, any training will have no relevance, because it will be too late for them to be able to select the relevant line of curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would also like to thank the professor with a very good and well presented document to us. And what I wanted to find out from professor with regard to page 7 on slide number 14, where it is said that the announcement by the president that the support program was being developed to cover key areas of support to the institution on 14 December 2006, and that the government was considering establishing a national department for traditional leadership, and that was to be done on the 3rd of April 2007. So I just wanted to find out, with regards to the national department for traditional leadership, is it still going on? How far are you with regards to this? Thank you very much.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. honorable members, the Professor Zobate and colleagues from the department, and the distinguished guests that are here. Thank you very much, Chair, for giving me this opportunity. And I must also thank very much our department for presenting this document. I agree with Comrade Shodulu and those who supported him that indeed the department has presented to us a well thought and well crafted judgment. And I may dare say, Chair, on the 11th of November 11, 2003, when the ANC government piloted to Parliament this piece of legislation, Act number 41 of 2003, I was one of the people who applauded it as a bold decisive step by our ANC government for the first time in the history. I mean, they say, as you may know, when we took over, asking questions again, what is happening? And I want to pronounce today, 15th of April, 2007, that again, this department presented this bold and decisive concrete step about what it intends to do. Having said that, in addition to what our colleagues have asked, I would like the professor's team just to indicate that, because this is going to empower us as we are going towards the budget speech of the minister. I heard him saying, well, there's a budget, but it was not specific. Whether the question of everything that was said here, because to me, it triggers on the creation whether there is budget that has been provided for. If you are able to give some indication now, I will appreciate it. If not, later on, I will also have no problem with that. Now, then on page 4 of the presentation, I'll go down to slide number 2. I think on point number 4, it did indicate that provision of dedicated support of kings and queens in terms of the new legislation. And I must also thank you very much for that pronouncement. But I would be pleased if you can indicate, because in terms of the law, as I understand it, the policy, as I understand it, the kings in this country, in terms of their powers and functions, there must be a proclamation that emanates from the office of the president. And how far is that? Because you may appreciate that some of the kings were chairpersons of the regional authorities, but we sort of abolished them in view of the transformation agenda. And because they are now going to be replaced by local houses. So it becomes clear then, become imperative then that proclamation we must be given some indication as to how far is that, so that we can deal with that issue once and for all. And of course, tied to that, if you are able, I don't know, there was this issue also on transformation of the institution around about the Commission on Claims and Counterclaims. That's under another professor, your colleague. If you are able to, because of the last was an indication that a report was forthcoming late last year or early this year. I don't know when it is done, but it's critical. That must also be that may be one why the president has not issued proclamation. I don't know. You'll be able to then to clarify us in that regard. The next page, which is 5, second slide again, and number 4, another role of other departments, other government departments. It's just a comment there, rather than anything else, but your views in that regard, I will appreciate. Because you're saying there that health should deal with initiation schools and HIV and AIDS program. I have no problem with the second leg, HIV and AIDS program. I would say then the health, of course, the question of clinics and everything which are in rural, which is the core. But the question of the initiation schools, I'm not so sure whether the department wants initiation schools to be in another department which is not school related. I'm just pretending that I don't know for a minute what the implication of what you're saying. Because the initiation schools, to some, it's really a cultural issue. You see, having health implications, quite correct. That's what health is there. And you may also find that it's a cultural issue, having school in health, because for June holidays, of course, who's being affected and things like that. So, if you put it there under the health department, I'm not so sure whether it is going to help clarify this issue. But nevertheless, the import I understand, because in certain other provinces, of course, the health department is administering the initiation, but in other, you find it's under the premier, etc. Those dimensions. That when you consider my comment there. We have no problem. Page 6, to service my constituency. I think we have already captured it under 3, determination of boundaries, which affect traditional communities. Of course, it's clear that Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal is also affected. And then you may find that, for instance, in KwaZulu-Natal, there is no thing like headman. but in the Eastern Cape part of which has been excised from the Eastern Cape part of KwaZulu-Natal, in Mzimkulu, for instance, there are people who are called headmen. Obviously, there are dimensions. If you are able to indicate how you're handling that, I'll really appreciate. Same page 6 under Eastern Cape again. The question of planning comments. Drafting soon, that is the regulation on legislation on column number 1. And then on column number 3, local houses and provincial houses, said planning to draft legislation on local houses. Yeah, because provincial houses exist, it's fine. But I will appreciate if you are able again, because there's a provincial thing, it's not really your. If you are able to indicate. When you say soon, by when, so that at least when we monitor this portfolio committee, we're able to say at least what was conveyed to you was that this will be done sooner. Bearing in mind that in terms of the act that we have passed, in fact, it was said with only a year of transformation, but there were these delays which are understandable from our side. Then, The last one on page 8, which I've already dealt with, but the one concretely, when we were in that third slide on that page, it said there was an idea, you have got an idea how much this thing costs. I've already asked the question, but I'm putting it concretely now. And also an idea, you also said there's a consideration of the establishment of the separate department. And I'm not so sure whether it's a consideration or is a thing that has been agreed or is just being considered. It can die. I wanted you to be very, if so, then by when, in terms of the budgetary issues that we have already indicated, that we have got some idea of how these capacity building programs will cost. Otherwise, Chair, I must say I'm really excited about this. I think I have no hesitation to say that I think the recommendations are really called for. I will not hesitate to support them.
Thank you, Chairperson. From page number 7, what do you think of our province's housing? Province received only 2 traditional communities. And also go on to say in the Northern Cape received 9 traditional communities. I think it would be very nice if the department would say out of so many traditional communities we received 2 or 3, and out of so many traditional communities we had the so that we have the balance and we know that how do we move around to get others involved. Thank you.
Except that in the democracy you mustn't bother, you are from Alex, so Alex is not going to be touched by all of you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members.
If you can.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me say from the start that I will field some of the questions, but others, with your permission, I will allow my colleagues to also come in and enrich the process. With respect to the separate department, the announcement was made by the President this year. In the department, when the President makes the announcement, and we do it. And what we did was to set the ball rolling in terms of creating the necessary documentation, how we envisage this department, make a cabinet memo to that effect. And indeed we have done that. This cabinet memo went through this month. The necessary process, the DG, the minister, and now on its way to the cabinet. That is where it is as far as the establishment. It's not a question of it may be aborted. No, there is no, it is going to go on. It's a certainty, I can tell you that. It's a certainty that it's going on. And it's for us now as officials to make the necessary preparation with respect to how this envisages the necessary consultation, because as one of the honorable members has said, it's a long process. DBSA, Treasury, a lot of people have been consulted, a lot of departments have been consulted, and ultimately, treasure has to be consulted. So that's where we are. Memo has been created. It's on its way now to the cabinet, from the department. It has left the department on how we envisage this department. So, thank you. Secondly, with respect to consultation, last year, honorable members, we made a joint presentation to the cabinet on the program of national support. Joint presentation that is DPLG together with the National House of Traditional Leaders. So, in that regard, there has been consultation with the National House, which is representative of traditional leaders in the provinces. But over and above that, we've made a presentation, we are going to make a presentation now directly to
traditional leaders in the province. Otherwise, it has been a joint effort by DPLG together with the National House, to the extent that a joint presentation on the National Program of Support was made in November last year to the cabinet. Thirdly, with your permission, Chairperson, funds being made available, not at the moment, because this is a new creation. That is why we are moving at this pace, so that when this has been approved by the cabinet, then we can make the necessary consultation with Treasury on this issue. Otherwise, there are no funds for the Police Department at the moment, as we speak, because, as I said, this has not been approved.
What is the question then? That you want me to come at the end?
He answered your earlier question. He said the question of the National Department is a certainty. It will not die. But what else?
The one funding was whether provinces consider this an unfunded mandate, and they don't have sufficient funds to provide support, institutional support. So are we looking at revising the national allocations to provide for this kind of support at a provincial level?
Thank you. Yes, I may say that we all know that provinces will not be able to discharge their responsibilities with the funding that they have. That additional funding will have to come from Treasury to us, to them.
Through us is a debatable question.
The principle
is accepted. Until you sorted out the whole thing, presentations will be done to Treasury, and the manner in which provinces get their money, which would include, for example, the House of Traditional Leaders, would include that as well. Is that the correct assumption?
Okay.
Let's proceed on that understanding.
I wanted to indicate on this question of provinces. I don't think that we must be that bold to say there will be no funding. We may find that the provinces, because they have passed socialization, they have made necessary funds. But your point, it may not cover everything because of it going to in that structure, in that dimension structure, going to determine other things.
Yeah.
So the question of fund and mandate will be considered in that process. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Briefly on that, this is very true, honorable members, in the sense that it must be remembered that the provinces have made their legislation, the province-specific legislation, which is necessarily funded by them. And that, if you look at the National Program of Support, that it entails some of the issues already being tackled and implemented by provinces. So in that regard, provinces have funded and continue to fund, but if there are additional responsibilities that originate from this National Program of Support needing additional funding, then in that regard, obviously, National Capital Department will have to find a way and means of making sure that those areas and issues that have to be tackled at the provincial level are properly funded. Thank you. I agree with the sentiment expressed here by all honourable members that it's a long road, it's a long process that we've stipulated. It must involve deadlines. Yes, we make deadlines. But sometimes the provinces have a lot of challenges. Lots of challenges, and to the extent that really be pleased if you were to visit them and acquaint yourself with challenges which are both institutionally and political.
And so we learned a lot when we were going around, for instance, helping them to craft their province-specific legislation. The fact that, for instance, only KZN up to now has managed to establish local houses and reconstitute traditional houses is a case in point to show that provinces, the reason why governments are in varying degrees of readiness is because of the challenges that are really taking place out there and are there. And so when we put in place, because, for instance, with respect to reconstitution of traditional councils and establishment of local councils, just to go back a little bit of permission, Chairperson, with respect to the provincial piece of legislation emanating from the Framework Act. The first deadline was 2005, January. That could not be met by a government. April, that could not be met by provinces. And there was now a really concerted push by National Department talking politically and otherwise. And they were only able to pass this legislation at the end of 2005, December, having had 2 years with all the help. So that indicates the challenges. The fact that we put deadlines and they're not met. The deadline, new deadline now, for this work to be completely done completely with respect to reconstitution of traditional councils and the establishment of local houses, is the end of this financial year. That is, seeing what is happening in the provinces, I think by November, December, they will have established, all of them, local houses as well as reconstituted traditional councils. But we just wanted to be on the safer ground to say, end of this financial year, by April 2008, this must be done. But on looking at them, bearing something that is unforeseen, they should be able to fully reconstituted traditional councils and fully established local houses by the end of this year. We would appreciate the fact that you would like to visit them so that you, as I said, help a special look at the issue of gender, how much in line they are with what is envisaged in legislation in terms of elected members. 40% of those traditional councils should consist of elected members. 1/3 of those traditional councils should be women. So we would really appreciate that if you could have a look at that. We also need your support and good offices in terms of finalization of the Khoisan policy. It has been a nightmare for us officials that we crafted this policy and finished it last year, and we're waiting. They were waiting for our principals, for our principals to have a look at that. And we are having a lot of pressure from the Khoisan. You can imagine what is happening if I'm saying to you now that with Northern Cape, we have helped them to the extent that they are about to conduct hearings on their legislation on the traditional leadership. Now you can imagine if we are saying that, and then with the Khoisan, there's nothing. It's a new, I mean, they've only been given traditional leaders, Northern Cape, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And already we've moved so fast that by the end of this year, they will have their piece of legislation governing traditional leaders. But with respect to the Khoisan, we don't have it moving since this was tabled before you, I mean, since this was started in 2008. And so we have those questions, challenges from the Khoisan as to what is happening. And we will find it very difficult to respond to that. And we are asking members here to also help us move along that, because as we've done our work now as officials, and we need support so that we move forward on this. We're hoping for, of course, that if I may say, we should have, if that has been postponed, we should have met our principals within the department this week on this issue, but it has been postponed. By next week, we're hoping that at least something, because this is now being led by RTG, that the bullet is finished, and just have to brief her and see how she can take forward. We are very anxious that it should be taken forward. It is with respect to the reconstitution of certain accounts in April 2007. That was there's something wrong there, honorable member, because that was our original deadline. But on moving around with, in the province, we realized that at least, as I've said, although on the safe, to be on the safe ground, we have said end of this financial year, but I think I can put my head on the block and say by November, December, they will have done that, looking at the progress that they are making. I agree with you, the issue of succession, the relevance of the Department of Education. As I said earlier, the department here put on that appear here is not an exhaustive list. That if you look at the institution, almost all the departments are involved. And tell you, for instance, originally we had forgotten, we have not put in the Department of Housing. Until, I think a few weeks ago, the Department of Housing wanted to brief traditional leaders here on the issue of rural housing. And we saw the relevance of that department to this institution. Indeed, last week, 10th and 11th, I attended an endeavor on rural housing in East London, being organized by the Department of National Department of Housing. That to show that sometimes we find it fair to see that almost all of these departments will have in one way or another something to do with the institution. Indeed, I agree with you, the Department of Education is also central. If, for instance, we are thinking of revising, some people have said that, resuscitation, re-establishment, or those schools, colleges of where Tatalism used to be trained, which did excellent work, the Department of Education will have to be called in there. Maybe that new department will pick up that issue. So the Department of Education is very, very central, I agree with you. I've already indicated, responded to the issue of national health, the national department of how far we are with that. Any question available for this new department? Not yet, honorable. Not yet available because of the development that just indicated that we have just crafted the memo, which is on its way now to cabinet. After that, a lot of consultation is going to take place. Kings and Queens proclamation for the president. Yes, indeed. It's very, very critical. We have just finalized the rules and regulations concerning Queens. And it does that sometimes issues crop up. This month, we're expected to have a meeting with the presidency on the rules and regulations for Kings and Queens. And once that they are on board, we've done all the consultations now with relevant people, including Kings and Queens themselves, provinces, etc. So once that is done, then the route through, that is, you're talking about the proclamation by the president, or the president coming back, or we coming back to parliament on this. But that is where we are now at the moment, that we finish that. We need just to engage with the presidency on this issue, take them on board, after which then the process I talk about is underway. Chapel Commission. That's another challenge. I don't remember. You recall that the Chapel Commission was established to, first of all, look at the existing kingships, see how legitimate they are. Not the incumbent, but the existing kingship. After which then they will look at the existing incumbent, the occupant. This commission also has its own challenges. It's an independent commission. We need to safeguard that, but also giving it its necessary help. As we speak now, we've been informed that by end of June, they will be able to make an announcement. Remember, they have to hand in their determinations on the 11 existing kingships to the president. And they've said they will do that at least by the end of June. That's a new deadline. Then after that, they will look at the incumbents of these kingships. Then after that, then they will move on to senators and leaders. Or, no, they will move on to claims, new claims on kingship. Then after that, senators and leaders, etc. So at the moment, the existing kingship, after which the occupants of those kingships. After that, new claims, those national committees that feel that they should have three kings, or that their ex-wife kings were deposed by Colonel Calvin, etc. As they want this to be, then after which then they will move on to Tasmania, Senate Tasmania. Role of other government departments, yes, you're right, Sonnenbuhl, that no, the issue of initiation schools is that. It's a customary issue, but as you would know, the legislation governing the initiation of boys or initiation of youth is not handled by the Department of Education, by the Department of Health. So that's why we were just giving examples here of the issues that each department is grappling with. Each Department of Health is also dealing with the issue of initiation of boys, as we speak. Redetermination of boundaries? Yes, you're very, very right. We are helping, even when we were crafting, we're helping the provinces craft their own province-specific legislation. We made mention of this, that now we have three categories of traditional leaders, the kings, senior traditional leaders, as well as headmen. But we are aware of the fact that some provinces did not cater for the third category, headmen. But in the light of the, what is happening in the provision in the new legislative framework act, that those provinces must make sure that this third level is catered for. You write the KZN, for instance, we had a long discussion with KZN saying that there is in the UNA did not qualify them to be regarded as is more the headman. And we're saying if you look at the legislation, their own legislation, let alone framework act, that work which is assigned to Izinduna is exactly what is assigned to headmen. So there's no way that they will not be able to pay headmen. Of course, they're worried by the number. She's close to 1,000 of headmen, which is going to balloon their budget. And the added factor here is, as Honorable Member of Nukonyana has indicated, there are provinces now where the third leg headmen were paid like Eastern Cape. Now, with redetermination of boundaries, Zimkulu going over to KZN, those headmen who were in the Eastern Cape where they were paid have since moved to KZN, they would need to be paid. And after the same thing happens with respect to Limpopo and Mpumalanga. So one of the provinces they were paid, and moving on to another province where they were not paid, we indicated to them that they will have to make room in their budget to be paid. The same applies to Northwest, where some of the Shaka leaders were, and they have since moved now to Northern Cape, which did not have this Shaka leader before. Provision has been made for them to be paid, otherwise they have no legal stand to stand on, legal leg to stand on that. I'm going to ask some of my colleagues there to look at some of the issues that I have not left out with your permission, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I think Prof has covered almost everything except to say that we are working with provinces in coming up with a budget indicating the financial implications to implement this national program of support. The workshop that we had last week was a beginning towards, you know, getting a global picture of how much it's going to cost government to implement this program. It might be a process that might take us, you know, the better half of this financial year. But definitely by the time we start implementing this program, by the time it gets approved by Cabinet, it will have full financial implications for the implication of this program. That was the only thing, folks, that I wanted just to clarify. Otherwise, everything else was covered.
Can I just check with you, Prof? The traditional leaders are involved, I'm aware, separately elsewhere, in issues of indigenous knowledge systems. They do tend to give prominence to others, but not others. I don't see here any explicit indicator of support for their actions in those areas, like research and development in that area. Government generally has an interdepartmental team that is working on that subject. How are you assisting them in that aspect? Or in what, under what area is it provided for? And secondly, the House of Traditional Leaders has been doing some work externally in the region and in the continent. In what way is that part of the system that you are developing? Is there specific support for that? That is magic. Yeah.
Those are just the two that I want to check in.
Sorry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just one question. You know, on several occasions that we spoke to traditional leaders here, they have been raising the question about their autonomy as a house and the management of their finances and everything that makes them to come out like an autonomous institution, which they felt that was somehow affected by their finances, for example, coming through DPLG. Now, I want to know what work has been done to deal with that. Has there been consensus at least about this, the way things are, or what is the plan in relation to such a thing?
Okay, yes.
Chair, the issue of indigenous knowledge systems, under the auspices of the National Program of Support, we are mobilizing departments like we have said, education, arts and culture, and we're working with the House as well, so that, you know, we can then package, you know, all these issues like the one on indigenous knowledge systems, so that we can, I think 2 weeks ago there was a workshop organized by Arts and Culture. The Minister for Arts and Culture was there, and the House, as well as provincial houses, you know, were represented in that big workshop where they were discussing these issues of the cultural practices of the indigenous knowledge system. So there is a lot happening right now. But you are saying that, you know, all those things must happen now, you know, in a structured way. There must be
close cooperation between all these departments, our departments and any other department, you know, that is working on anything that impacts on traditional leadership. So that as government, we are seen to be synergizing on these issues, on traditional leadership. The involvement of the House of Traditional Leaders as well, you know, whatever they are doing and whatever we are doing it together as partners on these issues. So we are fully aware of the programs that they are involved in, initiated by them, but we also as partners, and also programs that we initiate and them as partners. The issues of autonomy, I think this has been an issue that, you know, has been on the table for quite some time. It's not only the national house at national level that is discussing these issues, but also provinces as well. I know in Mpumalanga they are grappling with the issue in such a way that they've even suggested that they want to be a Section 21 company. You know, the implications of that, obviously, you know, are legal in nature, to say when you become a Section 21 company, there are implications that will kick in automatically. But the issue, Chairperson, the minister, our minister, you know, set up a task team last year. A task team consisting of us, the department, as well as the National House, where we looked at a wide range of issues. The Prof did allude to the fact that the Houses of Traditional Leaders, as they are currently, they were established in terms of legislation immediately after 1994. And as a result, you know, there might be some inconsistencies between that legislation and the new legislation, which is the White Paper 2003, as well as the Framework Act. So what we are doing right now, you know, is to look at the old legislation against the new legislation, so that we can refine the issues of the function of the houses, as well as, you know, how these houses are aligned to each other in terms of the terms of office, and also, you know, how they are doing their business. So that task team, you know, did its work last year. I think it was in November when we submitted our task team report to the minister. And in that report, we analyzed a whole range of issues and a lot of other things that must happen in terms of, you know, amending the old legislation to be in line with the new legislation. So I think once that task team report is approved by the minister, a lot of work is going to take place to overhaul, you know, the legislation establishing the houses and how they conduct their business.
So wouldn't that be now effectively be overtaken by the proposal to create a department? And the implications there? I mean, because essentially what they are looking for is to be able to run their affairs. So if they are a separate department with a head of department, with a budget, that's what they are looking for. I mean, I don't know, I'm just seeing a direct link to what they've been saying all along with the new proposal that they're making to create a department. I wouldn't see how the other proposal would then merge with this one. It's a question, but that's what I'm raising. And the other question I asked is about the international and continental role.
Thank you. You are right, Chairperson, that the envisaged new department will have a bearing on the request emanating from the South. But at the same time, it may well be that as a national house, or bugbear here has been how they manage their own fight. To the extent that the department came up with a new position, the secretary or the CEO, they call it, of the house, who is geared to be a program manager, a program manager for the house, to look at how they spend. But what actually happens now is the department has allowed them even to make representations to treasurers on their own with us on how much they need. Of course, their money comes through the budget of the national department. But how those funds now are spent largely is controlled by them through their CEO. And that has been, well, they've been complaining that, understandably, that whenever they had to go, an approval had to be made by our CFO, the department CFO, the craziest, you know. But that now has faded to and has evolved towards being handled by their CEO. We need them to find out if what they are talking about, as you correctly say, has not been overtaken by the envisaged new department. Secondly, Chairperson, with respect to the what we call the external representations, we call them the study house. We are working together to the extent that I was mandated by the department to actually myself work with and chair a committee that has been preparing for the establishment of what they call study house, which is spearheaded by the National House. So in that regard, we are working together to them, to the extent that I think next week there will be an event that will be involved in concerning that. So, which means then that in all the developments involving the Continental House, because that is the ultimate prize. But at the moment, you're starting with the study house that is consisting of the study council that have this institution working hand in hand with the National House. That piece of work is done jointly by the reality that is by us, the section, together with the National House of Tatsunan Leaders.
The final one from myself. One of the critiques of the House, nationally and provincially, just like all other institutions of governance, is the question of how effective is their relationship with communities, the effectiveness of communication and relationship with communities and so on, so that in the work that is done, there is a degree of satisfaction with their relationship with communities. In other words, it is not assumed that automatically because they are traditional leaders, therefore they are very democratic, therefore they consult regularly, therefore there are no problems. And so those issues, in what way is the department handling them? I did see one of those issues mentioned here in one of the, as part of the priority areas for looking at. I think that's the role of provinces, where they speak about communication problems with communities. But I have a specific idea with the houses themselves and so on.
Chair, I think if we look at the first strategic priority of the National Program of Support, you're talking about the issues of governance as well as accountability. Simply because we have noted that complaint by members of the community to say how accountable are structures within the institution of traditional leadership. So we are trying to ensure that there is accountability towards the communities, not only towards maybe government, but also towards the communities by all structures of traditional leadership, be it traditional councils, local houses, provincial houses, and the national house. So that they are seen to be doing what they are expected to be doing in terms of custom, as well as in terms of the statutes. So we are going to be promoting that as because our understanding is that it's not business as usual. The new legislation brings in the transformation of the institution. It has to be transformed. But also safe to say that Chairperson, it's not the culture of the institution of traditional leadership not to be accountable. There are many examples of accountability by structures as well as by individual traditional leaders. But also to acknowledge that there may have been, certain, pockets of areas where, communities are complaining about the lack of accountability. But generally, the institution is in touch with the communities on a very, very regular basis. Chair.
Chairperson, Indeed, there have been complaints. For instance, some provinces complaining to commissions that they are expected to pay levies to translators. And I must be honest to say that because we were guided by this principle of concurrency, that you know, this issue of translators get concurrent, that province and the national department holding, we tended to be a bit lax on what is happening in the province. But this national program of support is expected to tighten things up and to make sure that there's uniformity, there's engagement. And as my colleague said, yes, the institution, by its very nature, is consultative. It's consultative in its nature, but you do get a pocket of complaints in there. And we are making sure through this national program that things are done as far as humanly possible in a uniform, consultative way in accordance with the Constitution, especially, you know, the Bill of Rights.
And then the little photo.
You can start again. Again.
Oh, you will do it.
Chair and honorable members, thanks, Chair, once again. It's comment. I don't think there's anything now. But I think on the question of the systems of government, Chair, I really appreciate you see the sensitivity of the department in this regard. As you know, Chair, whether we like it or not, we do have two systems of governance when it comes to this issue in the country. And then the challenge is for us, how are we going to, as one person said, massage these two systems to better the lives of all South Africans? And I think I must highlight that as you develop this, because it's very, very critical. The system of governance in traditional institutions is not the same as the system of governance in the municipality, for instance, in the civilian type of governance model. And hence, perhaps some years come, considerations be given, because in terms of the Municipal Structures Act, we have the Structures Act, we have the Municipal Systems Act, that talk to those structures. Now we do have the Act number 4 of the 1 of 2000, which is a structural act in a way for the traditional institution. That we may as well lead to traditional systems act. So that, because I find sometimes even traditional leaders themselves, they don't understand that confusion, which is a challenge. Hence, I'm very pleased about our model of our constitution, which talks about this corporate governance principle. In other words, clearly that we could manage those within the Act. And in fact, even the Act that we passed ourselves in 2003 does actually emphasize this partnership. Hence, one do I like that now we have got traditional councils. We do have within the traditional councils, we've got ward councillors, CR councillors, we do have ward committees. It's very critical to have those guidelines being developed so that at least they know that we really need to cooperate and complement each other to better the lives of all South Africans in that regard. That is also traditional councils and municipal councils for that, as there will be local houses. And the PC municipalities, for instance. There is the provincial house, and of course, for instance, the national house, and ourselves, in that regard. The other point, is the question of deadline not met by the province. I think this is another yet an example that I think we need as a committee also to really speed up our oversight on the provinces. We were doing so, of course, through the NCOP. But I think in the light of these things that impact on the work of the committee, we need also, of course, working with our colleagues in the NCOP and Monica. You see, the performance of these provinces. 2 years delay, Chair, clearly means that we really need, if we are not constantly monitoring these provinces, we may as well be assisting them to die or not to, lead, to deliver. Hence, I think in that regard, I must thank them so that at least we do assist the department and we do assist our government actually in monitoring the work of these provinces. I'm not entering this debate whether there must be two or three at the current moment. I'm just arguing in terms of the law. Then the question of coinciding. Well, thanks very much. I think you're handling it with care. You know, Khoisan is a community. With a community leader, with a system of governance peculiar to themselves. Whether they have the part of traditional leadership system as a whole, I think this matter that we need to speed up. Because as far as we are concerned, if there's a traditional community for the system of governance, I'm taking that Adam Koch was our soul from history, was a traditional leader, and he became no more. My question is, until now, is a non-troubled person. And I say, well, welcome. Why can't they be part of the traditional leadership system? But the challenge is, those communities to come up with concrete things so that at least they can be accommodated. Because as I know, because of the unfortunate history, you see, they have got challenges. Who is it? Who is who? You see, who is the head of that San group? Who is of that call? You see, who is hereditary head of that, or that, that type of thing? I also think that, therefore, perhaps that CRL commission may be helpful. To you, I'm not so sure, but because I know that they were actually participating in that CRL commission, that the CRL commission may be able to really assist trying to speed up things. Otherwise, thank you very much. We look forward that we're going to meet next week and finalize this matter really. Lastly, Chair, it's a question of there are two. It's a question of this commission. I hear you, Prof. You say this commission is still dealing with kingship. You're quite correct. I was asking myself, is the commission aware that in terms of the act we gave them 5 years? Because the act, if my memory serves well, 5 years. See, 2003, 2004, 5, 6, 7. You see, so if they are still dealing with one, they are still going, there are many things. There are traditional leaders that have been deposed. You see, when we go to go to senior, we go to the headman, it means therefore that they are contemplating them as a permanent structure. I just want just to sound you if then they realize that the better. Lastly, on the question of headmen, this is again department, an area that needs to be careful. I hear you because what they say is in Luna are headmen. Let me take from my own constituency to make my point. In my constituency, you find that there are various nations, you can say tribes, fine, whichever term you prefer. They have got their own system of headship. You have got the head of the family. Okay. We have got here what we term a headman. We head the locality. Depending where you are in the SMK, it may be Usbond. It may be Unos Tejan. You see. But all those two people are actually managing a section of a community. And in KwaZulu, when you talk about isiNduna, you may be talking about an Nduna in a hotel, for instance, in Cleveland, or wherever in Gauteng. Is it the same thing that we're talking about? That's why I want the department, when we consider this thing, consider if that person is in charge of a clearly identified community, and then we need to come up, because we did come up with these terms because of the colonial conquest. And of course, these other things that succeeded it and killed the advent of democracy. So if we visit them, there's nothing wrong. So that at least the department is very clear on this thing. Because again, you find that in the other communities, the headman is elected. Yet in others, it's hereditary. You may find that my brother is a headman, yet he's a son of a chief. These are the things that we really appreciate. Please, if you handle them, I think you understand. Handle them with that. Know that there is this diversity that is really a challenge. Otherwise, I'm not posing any questions in that regard. Otherwise, I'm very happy and I'm very thankful.
Thank you.
The first point I wanted to observe about you, you are being preoccupied. Oh, okay. Go ahead, ma'am. I didn't notice your hand.
Thank you, Chair. First, I must say I appreciate the presentation that has made, but I also wanted some clarity. We have traditional leaders, we have traditional councils, and now we also have a councillor within the area and a ward committee. How do we synchronize all that? I just want clarity on that. That's all. Thank you.
Now, you put me in a spot because I thought you were going to do what the inquiry did here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to prevent them from answering you now in the formal session. Okay? They have responded already. What I'll do, I'll create space for them to explain that to you, respond to you. But I want us to wrap this thing up and observe that Ngosiam, you've been preoccupied with death. I don't know, with death. You were concerned about the possibility of the idea of a department dying. You were concerned about the potential of the provinces and their support dying or something like that. I was worried, what's wrong? What's going on in your head today? Please don't bring that stuff here. But the initiatives around which we've been briefed are crucial. They constitute, I think, what you're correctly calling in your last words. How do we manage this diversity of custom, of experiences, on the one hand, with a liberal, democratic, multi-party, one-person, one-vote system? How do we navigate those relationships under the rubric of cooperative governance? So that's a challenge that we're confronting, that there's a complexity here that we are seeking to manage with as much political sensitivity as possible. But as MPs, I think you are correct in saying, Gosiam, that some agency needs to be placed both in the provinces, whatever complications and challenges they face, to recognize the importance of being responsive, of responding to the issues in legislation that are there because they were asked for by people who are affected by those things. We cannot afford delays that are not appropriately explained. If the idea, as my mother would say, you have to wait because the food is still simmering on the stove and I can see it. But if I'm not communicated, I don't see any evidence that indeed the fire is burning
the staff there simmering, I'm going to assume that nothing has been done to handle my hunger at some stage. So this is the problem of weak communication, of delays that are not explained and so on. And I'm going to suggest that the committee agree that we call the Ntate Nsapho here to come and explain his story, to explain to us how he intends to meet the tasks that he has in the time frame that he has. We are concerned with that thing. I think that's an important agenda item that we should take forward in our discussion. And of course, the Khoisan issue, I think the department, Professor Sbahla and his team are very gentle to convey to us, having done their work as officials, we must do our political responsibility to urge their principles on those issues wherein we need to be remembered. To hear from them what the complexities are, what the difficulties are, that I think is another important decision that we have to take. In other words, seek explanations from the ministry, to explain the delays around the Khoisan issue. It is also a problem because it keeps coming up, as you correctly said, in terms of its resolution. We must find a way to respond to that issue. And this program of support, obviously, in the manner in which it evolves and finally hits the ground, has implications for relationship with local government. So I guess it is linked in a sense to the strategic agenda for local government. In that ultimately when the institution operates optimally, it will be doing so next to and alongside and in cooperation with local government. So to the extent that we succeed in building its capacity, must go hand in hand with our effort to do the same at local government level so that there's better cooperation. Thank you very much. I think we will do what you said we must do. Preoccupied as we are with food, that we'll digest it. We'll digest your presentation, reflect on it, and then perhaps identify things that we need to do from our side as a follow-up to this. And we will take it up in the appropriate forums as well. Thank you very much.
Mr. Thomas Chesterton, I flagged a need to visit traditional councils. What
yes.
is your comment?
Yes. No. That's what you stated then, that MCBU is part of our program for visiting and so on. We have always understood that's part of our work that we will be doing, to interact with the provinces that have traditional leaders. They are increasing. They have increased by 2, including Gauteng. Welcome to the club. Yes. So, yes, we will do that. There are things that my boss here insists we must know about and handle. Reliable and Dante, thank you very much for your input. And so, members, we have a couple of... We have some things that we need to do. There is the question of the... let me start with number one, the way he has designed it. Firstly, that lunch is at 12:30. He says behind us. Where? Here?
Yeah.
Okay, so our lunch will be served here next door. Don't disappear, including you. And then we need to adopt the annual report of the committee. I'm going to suggest that we look at that but not adopt it, and then adopt the second term program and minutes of the first form. Those are the two things. And there is a business, just to speak about it. I love to. So, yes.
No, just these two...
This is for members, okay?
Yes, it's members. There's a workshop that we're applying for the Minister of Tin on the 25th, that's next Friday. It's in the process. We've spoken to the Chief Whip's office and they've basically agreed if we can go. It's going to be for the full committee membership. So if we do get the approval, members will be expected to please be there.
The one day
project management training program, if we get space. The idea is that
The work that we are doing involves looking at programs and projects. And so to get an opportunity to go through and be taken through a process of training around that issue is an opportunity that we thought the committee must exploit for itself so that it improves our ability to interact more effectively with the departments and the programs and projects they are running across the country. So that's the purpose of that thing. We are saying it is on the 25th. It may mean that we slip over on the 24th, come back the 25th. It's a one-day program. So we really would be chuffed if all of us are present on the 25th.
And the second, just the last one, is the LG, the local government teachers, colloquium and AGM, which is happening on the 28th and 29th, it's a Monday and a Tuesday. Bearing in mind that on the 30th, so Wednesday, members have to be back at Parliament for the budget vote. Yeah. So it'll be, in that case, it'll only be a delegation of, I think, four or five members will be going. We'll identify them to go to the AGM of CETA. That's on the 28th and the 29th, but I will be in touch with those members that will be going through. That one will be seen to have already received the approval.
Okay.
So that is just a matter of getting the logistics worked out.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, you are excused. Let's look at any comment on those announcements? Anyone wants to say anything on that? Thank you very much. You do seem to be ready to deal with the program. You have it in front of you. Just look at the program, a proposal for the program there. Just to make a correction, there's on Tuesday, 5th June, that presentation of Information Society and Development IGR Forum is the Department of Communication, not the Department of Education. Communication. Yes, we thought it's a... You see, the Department of Communication, for example, does not have a provincial structure. So what they are doing as a result of the IGR Act, they are working towards setting up a machinery that is in line with the IGR Act. So we thought it's important to look at that way. And that program, if no comment, some of it we have already done, part of it partly. There are things that we are going to that we are following up, such as the briefing by Treasury. That's going to be followed up because we felt that the whole committee must be involved in the briefings. Any other comments?
Program, we also put the 30 years as that budget.
Yes, I also thought so. I agree with you. I don't know why he excluded it. Because that's an important date in the life of the committee. So that's the amendment we must go in late. If it's in plenary, it's the work of the committee. You don't only have to put in the program here, what gets done in here. So if you can put visit to Halakhadi, why not visit to the chambers? Okay. So we agree with the program as amended. Thank you very much. Honorable members, who moved? I move. Any seconder? Oh, Dr. Mukhasi seconds. Okay. Oh, Dr. Swate, 10.
Okay. Thank you very much. The annual report, member, have you read it?
No.
Okay. Now, okay. I know he's very frustrated, my boss here. I suggest that it's important that it's work that we've done. It's work that we need to... Yeah. Okay. No, no, I'm just suggesting, please just go and read that. There are areas in the overview that I want included, and it will be the first item at the next meeting that we adopt. Is that okay? What is the next meeting? When is that? And it will still be on time, eh? It will still be on time. An appropriate, yeah. No, I think it is better we do it that way. So please go and look at it, make sure that we've covered the areas as we ought to, and where there are gaps, let's include those gaps. Thank you very much. There will be no excuse. The annual report is being done next week. The ANC study group, this is on our agenda for discussion. That's our study group.